You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. All right, you're going to hear an interview that I did about a month ago with two girls that, if you watch any sporting news today, you're going to see both of them. You ought to see both of them front and center in the highlights. And one is number seven, Monique Lamoureux-Morando, who scored the game-tying goal in third period, and number 17, her twin sister. Yeah, imagine how much fun that is. Her twin sister, who scores an unbelievable goal, head, shoulder, and hand fake, pull it back, and slam it into a pretty decent-sized hole she had created by putting the Canadian goalie literally on the ice with her head fake. So without any more to be said, here's Monique and Jocelyn Lamoureux. You'll hear them as soon as they get home from Korea. And again, could be excited for a great family and a great friend of mine, Pierre, their father. And so here they are, the girls.
You're listening to Mac Talk.
Yeah.
On the Warrior Radio Network.
We haven't done this in a while, and I've been complaining to them, to their media agent. So joining me today from someplace in Florida is R, the Missies, Monique and Jocelyn Lamoureux, Davidson and Monique. You have an Italian name now. Are you, first of all, what is your Italian name?
Mirando.
Mirando. There you have it. Do you like being Italian now, or is that a good thing, or what?
I mean, the food's pretty good.
You're right. Right.
It makes holidays entertaining and loud.
Really? Are they? Do they make good food? Because Italians, really, they've kind of cornered the market on good food. I'm certainly a fan.
Yeah, my mother-in-law made. When we lived in Boston, we would go there for dinner on Sundays, every couple Sundays, and she would ask what we would want. So then she would try and make it healthier for me, but there was one day she did, like, ravioli, chicken piccata. She did, like, a meatball sauce, but it had, like, pork, sausage, and beef in it. So it was, like, all these – I took a two-hour nap after we finished eating.
The eating was too much. You had to take a nap.
Yeah, she makes this really good cheese ball. That's really good. It's like two or three different cheeses rolled in nuts. It's pretty good.
Nice, Jocelyn. How are you? I mean, you didn't. Davidson is not as exotic as Mirando. Is that right, Monique? Mirando.
Yeah, I think the Davidson, they come from Manitoba, McDonald's, Manitoba, Morden area. So I wouldn't consider it exotic, but we get the job done.
Nonetheless, he's a wonderful guy, so you'll accept the name. First of all, how have you guys been? Life living in Florida, is this the longest stretch you've ever you guys went to Massachusetts, right? And I think before the last Olympics, but is this the longest you've ever lived in the Sun Belt?
Absolutely, yeah.
What do you think? Huh? Do you feel guilty not being in Grand Forks when they have that subterranean weather?
Honestly, we got home for Christmas, and I wanted my jacket in the worst way, and it was just unbelievably cold going from Florida to Grand Forks during Christmas, and then I wonder why people live in North Dakota. Like, I've never thought of it like that before, but then you come back to Florida, and it's 80 today, and then you're like, it makes sense now.
So all those years of people coming to Grand Forks and saying, like, why do people live here? And the response being, the cold weather keeps the riffraff out.
and thinking, like, how dare those people say stuff like that? All of that now makes sense to both of you guys?
It does make sense. But over Christmas break, we got outside and played a little two-on-two in the coulee, and so it's hard to top that. You can't do that here in Florida, that's for sure.
Yeah, nobody's playing anything in the coulee except maybe with a stray alligator every once in a while.
Yeah.
All right, what's the best thing about living in Florida? I don't like Florida because it's too humid. Okay, I'm not a fan of the humidity, so that's why I'm a West Coast guy.
Yeah, when we moved down in August, it was pretty unbearable for us. Like some of the girls would go golfing, and we could go outside for like maybe 20, 30 minutes tops, and we'd be back inside because it was so hot and humid out. But it's actually been pretty nice, like in the winter months,
right.
So December and January. Been a little bit better, but in the summer the humidity is pretty awful.
And when Monique says unbearable, I only golf 9 holes during that time, and I thought I was gonna have heat stroke. Like we were 6 holes in, and I thought I was going down, and it was. When it's unbearable, it's actually like you can't even be outside. It's
no, it's gross. People don't realize that. You know, it's like 90-something degrees with, you know, like 90% humidity. It is just sweltering, disgusting, and there's bugs everywhere. So, I hate it.
Yeah, everything's just soggy. Just soggy everywhere.
Yes, yeah. Florida in the summer. That's why everybody goes in the winter. Nobody goes in the summer. It's so the perfect match, you know. It's Grand Forks in the summer, so there's temperate weather, and then in the winter, you get out of Grand Forks and you become a snowbird and you go to Florida, which is as you both said, lovely in the winter. First of all, tell everybody where you guys are in the Tampa area. Yes.
Yeah, just inland from Tampa, so we're about probably 20-25 minutes from downtown in Wesley Chapel. So yeah, it's pretty. Maybe like 45-minute drive to the beach if you want to head out to the beach. But when you're in the middle of training, it's not something you typically get to go do like on a daily or weekly thing you get to do. So if we ever get a day off here and there where we get the full day to ourselves, we like to go out and like go into Tampa, go out to Yeater, go do something, a couple of us as teammates, and get out of our like normal routine.
All right. So first of all, email question. Mac, I'm curious, what did the girls get for Christmas? So, what do girls that have everything get for Christmas? Right? You guys, Olympic athletes, obviously, live a charmed life. In addition to being trainers of young athletes in Grand Forks. So, Jocelyn, what did you get for Christmas?
My mom and dad got me a nice pair of mittens and a hat that I'm taking to Korea because I didn't have anything here with me. And we don't really do a lot of family gifts, but Brent, my husband, he went above and beyond this year. He got me this fancy new coffee maker that does espresso shot, soft milk, and all that. So he definitely got some brownie points with that. And then a book that I'll probably, it was a thick book, so I'm not getting into that until after when I have some downtime in March, but definitely some brownie points with some Bully Brew coffee beans and a fancy coffee maker.
Are you a coffee snob?
Yeah, I'm definitely a coffee snob. I think Bully Brew makes the best beans ever. Bully Brew is what used to be the coffee company.
What a joke! Come on. So when somebody brings up coffee, do you go there with them? Like, oh, yeah, blah, 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 blah. While the rest of us just sit around and look at you and go, what a doofus, man. Is that you now? Are you that guy? That girl?
Yeah, I'm a coffee snob, but I don't really care. I like good coffee.
Or kind of like when they got home over Christmas and Jocelyn came over and she goes, oh, my God, Brent made coffee with soldiers.
Like it was an act of barbarity, yes.
Yeah, she wasn't too happy about it.
Oh, wow, Jocelyn. Now, so, Monique, are you a coffee snob? Doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, no, I am. I just don't make I don't sound like Jocelyn when she talks about it. I just like to grind. I like to get good beans and grind the beans fresh in the morning because I like the smell and I think it tastes way better. What beans do you use, though? I get Boldly Brew beans.
Okay.
But
there you go.
That's where you get them in town.
Yeah, not Folgers. Fine.
What's wrong with Folgers? People have been drinking Folgers for decades, and all of a sudden, like, Folgers isn't good enough anymore?
I'm sure it is. I just really like the options you can get at Bully Brew.
Okay.
I really like cold brew coffee right now, so that's what I've been doing down in Florida. So I'm really into cold brew right now.
What? I don't even know what that is. What is that? What is cold brew?
I don't. I'm not going to claim to know everything. I just know that it's like a cold drip, and it sits for like overnight. Like, so they recommend for it to sit for like 24 hours, and it makes it quite strong, and it's more of a sweet taste than a bitter taste than just regular hot coffee.
Okay. All right. Wow. This is like way too much about coffee. I don't even drink coffee. I think people who drink coffee, I think it's a weakness. I think it's a crutch. How about that? I really don't drink it because I don't like it,
I'll quit tomorrow if that's a challenge.
Exactly. But that's my story. That's what I say. People say, well, you don't drink. In fact, somebody asked me if I was a Mormon because I don't drink that much. I said, Mac, are you a Mormon? I said, no, I'm Catholic. They're like, no way. And I said, yeah. Like, everybody drinks coffee. Every Catholic does. I said, I don't like it. I don't like the taste. Besides, it's for weak people. You need, like, I'm like a nuclear reactor when I wake up. They're like, what?
Yeah, you don't strike me as the type that needs much caffeine to operate.
No, I never. You know what? I just didn't like the taste, though. I didn't like the smell. My mom used to smoke and drink coffee. She was all about it, smoking her Parliaments, drinking her. I don't even know. I think she drank Folgers coffee. Now that I'm thinking about it, Jocelyn. So off my belated mom, for God's sakes. Let's talk about. Hold on. Here's another email. Before we start talking hockey, Mac, I want to do a little trivia. The girls' favorite recording artist, what are they listening to now? So who wants to go first? Monique, who are you listening to right now?
I recently started using Apple Music, yeah. So it varies quite a bit, but I would say probably... I just would say country music and probably like Keith Urban or Eric Church.
Okay, all right. So skew towards country, Keith Urban. He was on the Golden Globes when Nicole Kidman was thanking him the other night. I don't know if you saw that, but I did.
We saw it.
Colleen was watching it, and I was sitting there staring at it. Before Oprah got up and did her little thing. Or actually it was after. Jocelyn, how about you? Who you listening to?
Probably Thomas Rhett's new CD, and then I guess I don't really listen to that right before a game, but on a game day, a little bit of Eminem, I guess.
Angry.
I get the varied genres.
You like angry music. That's Eminem, right?
I don't listen to, like, the angriest of his songs, though, because some of that's a little too much for me, but...
What a baby!
I like some of the songs.
Look, there's nothing like tapping into a little bit of anger to make yourself feel better about life. It helped, let me just tell you, it would help me. When we would be going to do stuff in Iraq or Afghanistan, I made a loop of Eminem. And there, I have a 45-second version, hold on, let me find it for you. And I made like a 10-minute version of it. And you know how when you put his music on, your head just kind of starts bobbing to the beat, and I don't even think I had any words in mind. He has some angry music and I'm a fan of it. I'm sorry to say. Does that make me a bad person? Yes, no?
No, I would understand that with the mindset that you would have to be in a moment like that.
That would
be an appropriate mindset to get into.
That would be like, good music to get. Let me tell you, I don't think it makes me a bad person. And, cause I think I'm a good person, but when you get up on some mornings and you know you're gonna be in, you're definitely gonna be involved in either killing people or saving people, and you fought with these people, Eminem, that's good music, Lois.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna tell you. Okay, so here's the 48 second version of it. So just imagine this in your headset. Oops, hold on. Oops. This is from Losers, though. You can feel it, can't you? I can.
Oh, yeah, when he says bobbing.
I'm getting fired up right now. I might have to beat the crap out of my dog or something. Poor Jack. Jack just heard the music and left the room. Oop, I'm out. Yeah, I have this on it's 5 minutes and 20 seconds of just this thing on the loop. And I'd put it on, and before we kind of start doing things, the Marines would hear it, and you'd see their head bobbing, and they're like, something bad's going to happen to somebody, but it's interesting. Yeah, he's an angry guy, but whatever. Okay, let's talk about hockey. So how are things going? Tell us the progression from national team to Olympic team, and let's start with that. And then I know you guys have started playing games here a little bit ago, and then we'll talk about the games and what you guys are doing. So talk to us about the migration from being a member of the national team to how the Olympic team is chosen.
So to kind of sum up the last couple months, we ended up having 3 extra players on our roster, so 26 players. And then you have to whittle that down to 23, which then becomes your official Olympic roster. So through November and December, we had extra players. So then you're you're in a tryout setting basically every day, and you're constantly evaluated for how you're playing. And they end up making – we had our last 4 games against Canada on tour, and then right before we went home on break, they let us know who is – on the team and who's going to be sent home, which is a very bittersweet moment because it's never easy saying goodbye to teammates. We've been on both ends of it before. We've been cut from world championship teams, and so your heart goes out to the players, especially when they're close friends. So it makes it hard to be happy in that moment. But then they announced the team officially on January 1st at the Winter Classic, and so we had been back from break for a couple days. And so now we leave in 21 days or 3 weeks for Pyeongchang, and we're basically just in a training setting right now. We just finished up our training day, and then on Saturday we start up our mock Olympic schedule, so we're playing the NWHL All-Stars. We play them twice, and then we have a couple junior boys teams that we're going to be playing as well in the next 2 weeks. So we have 5 games coming up before we head off, so this will be a good tune-up for us and getting ready to play, but still wanting to make big strides as a team before we head off to South Korea.
Question. Explain the difference between the roster sizes. You guys have to send 3 bodies home that are on the national team but don't get to be on the Olympic team. Is that what it is? Or were there 3 extra invitations extended to players that don't play on the national team to try out for the Olympic team? Explain how that works.
So we were qualified as the national team, the 26 players, and then you can only send 23 to the Olympics.
Okay.
So it's just, you just have to make 3 cuts to get down to that roster size.
Okay, so out of the, now, does anybody else try out other than the national team? Because I would imagine there are women that are playing in the NWHL.
We had tryouts in May, and so that was 40-something players were at that tryout. So that's your best college players, your best post-grad or professional players, and then maybe a couple
like three or four of your top U18 players will go. So there was 40 players, and that was in May.
Okay. And so from that, then you get your roster, and then you have to go from 26 to 20 to 23.
Yeah.
All right. The next question about life over the last of the last few months. You guys were involved in a big event relative to gender equity in sports almost a year ago now. Does that continue to follow you around? As do people come to you guys and ask you questions about that, like the way you went to the women's soccer team? Is that still part of your life, or is that kind of been put on the back burner as you guys get ready for the Olympics in South Korea?
I think it's still a part of, you know, our life and what people ask in different interviews. But I guess for, like, right now the focus is on, you know, the task at hand. But we were able to accomplish a lot with the contract we were able to sign with USA Hockey. But there's still, you know, you sign a contract, but then moving forward you have to really push to continue to make changes within our sport and then try and create more opportunities for younger girls and women throughout the sport moving forward. And we've had different athletes that reach out from different sports, and I think there's a couple sports that are wanting to do the same thing that we did and kind of asking, just like we had asked the soccer team what they had done, and Julie Foudy had been a huge voice and a huge help in the organization of what we were able to do. But it's definitely something that we're proud of, and it's something I think our team can look back on and really, you know, lean on that. Like, look at the trust we had in each other. Look at what that took for our team to do that. And I think that's just a moment that, you know, no one can really take away from our team and our program.
So when you guys, as you guys have been, I know you guys have been on tour playing not only the Canadian team, national team, but and you did the Four Nations tournament here recently. Does that come up in press conferences as a matter of course? Is something that you guys know you're going to be asked, because it was a national, international story. Is that just part of this version of the women's Olympic team? Does it constantly come up?
I think when we're in Florida and some of the games that we're playing against Canada, there's not a ton of media. Like, we're not getting a ton of interviews in and around the games just because we're traveling in and then we're out for typically the next day. But I would expect that when we go to South Korea, that question or questions about it will pop up. The amount of media that surrounds the Olympics it's nothing like anything else we've ever been a part of. There's media from all over the world that, and some people don't know anything about hockey. Some people, they learn your name right before they interview you. So I think going into the Olympics, we're probably expecting a little bit more of it there. But it's just the amount of attention and media that goes into that 2 weeks is pretty crazy how much there is.
All right. So is it more or less media than Red River Central Hockey?
Slightly more.
Okay. All right. But most of the time, those guys know how to pronounce your name. Talk to us about how things have gone so far. I know you guys have played the Canadians a number of times, and this is your guys' third trip to the Olympics, which is incredible to think of. And you guys, when you guys get ready, you go on these tours and you play the Canadians all the time. What is that like? First of all, and then number two, do you hold things back from what you're ultimately going to do in the Olympics from them, or is it just, hey, we're going to go get it on with them tonight? We are who we are, and we're going to do the things we're going to do, and we don't hold anything back. Every night is going to be a fight with them, and we just put it out there. So first question first, what's it like playing them all the time? I mean, you guys must have some great, great, I'll say animosity for each other, but to be nice, but no love lost between the two teams based on the number of times that two huge rivals play, because nobody in any other sport does what you guys do, is play your rival like this. So what is that like?
No, I think playing each other that many times, you make adjustments, and I don't want to say you hold things back, if that's up to the coach's discretion on both sides, obviously, on if you show your cards or if you hold a few close to the chest. But I think, well, we lost the last four games against them. We lost the last one in overtime, or two of them were in overtime. But last time going into Sochi, we had won the last three, and two out of those, or we had won the last four, sorry, and two of those were pretty, we had won by three or four goals. And so as frustrating as that stretch was, you have to have a short memory, but we also remember that going into Sochi, we had the upper hand, and then we went and lost both games to them in Sochi. And so you just have to prepare every single day, because the details matter. It's not a seven-game series. It's a one-and-done deal. And so you know that, the game can be won in the first period. The game can be won or lost on, a simple tie-up play off of a face-off that you miss or that you win. And so in these next 3 weeks, it's really just been focusing in on the details and knowing that the game and the outcome of that tournament can be determined in one shift.
That's pretty intense stuff when every step counts. And what's it like to play them all the time? Is it an unhealthy rivalry? Is it a healthy rivalry? I mean, you guys, again, there's no other rivalry in sports like it on the planet where the two top teams play each other with the frequency that you guys play each other. Good rivalry?
Oh, absolutely. Every time you get to play Canada, it's a fun game. Those are the games you get up for. It's obviously interesting on an Olympic year, and I think just because we've been on the team for so long now, and this is our third time through it, we're used to it at this point. For the younger players, I think it was probably a bit of an adjustment, seeing that, like, in December we played them four times, right before Christmas break. So I just think it kind of like alluding back to what Jocelyn said, we've been on both sides of it, where in Vancouver we did not have the upper hand going into the Olympics, so we didn't win, and then in Sochi we were really successful our last four games against them, and then we turned around and lost the two games of the Olympics. And so, and then this time around it's been a little bit of a flip-flop with the games, but it really, we could win all eight games, but if you don't win going into the Olympics, but if you don't win in February, it really does not matter how those games went going into it. So it's, at this point, we don't really care what the result was 2 and 3 months ago. We care what the result is in February. And so what are we doing to get better at each and every day? And I think when you get to play them that much, it's women's hockey on display for U.S. and Canada to see. Our games are televised, so it's good for the sport, and we play in different areas around the country, and so it's fun being able to do that and really try and grow the game on the women's side.
All right. The email question. Mac, what's their favorite venue they've ever played in? So, Jocelyn, you first. Favorite venue you've ever played in?
Does the Ralph still count?
Yes, of course. Come on.
The Ralph, when we played Canada in December in 2013.
All right. Monique?
Oh, the fun game. I've got the same answer.
Really? That's a favorite venue? The, all right. Let me dial it back to, your victory in the World Cup. That game was almost two different games. The first part of the game, your speed was on display, and the Canadians couldn't keep up with you. It was an incredibly dominating performance and almost through the first two periods. And then they came back and made it exciting, and you guys ultimately prevailed. Talk to us about, has your team changed a lot? Is it still as fast as it was almost a year ago when you guys played in the World Championship?
Yeah, absolutely. I like to think we're faster. And I think when we get to Korea, it's going to be on Olympic ice, and we hope that really plays into our hands. I think in that specific game, they made adjustments on their forechecks. And so I think what's going to be, you know, important for us is to read their pressure. And, you know, if they kind of started trapping, so if they're trapping, you quick transition. If they're coming too hard or they're chasing a little bit, you might have a little bit more time to swing back and make some plays. But I think Olympic ice, we're excited to play on a big ice sheet, that's for sure.
All right. The email question, is it an advantage or disadvantage for you guys to play together? All right, I'm just going to point something out to you. The play last night, and this is what's really fun about them as athletes, the play that she makes last night is on a bad line change by the Canadians. So let me rewind this about 30 seconds and listen to her answer, because that's exactly what happens as the Canadians, I think they have a 2-on-1, and they overcommit to one, to the offensive zone. And then after that, they head for a lines change, right? And she sees it, and then she heads towards their net. And whoever gets the puck in the zone sees her, puts it right on her tape, and she scores. So it's very interesting. As I said, you don't get to that level without having your head in the game. Just listen to her talk about the Canadians and let me tell you, they weren't happy because they had been getting beaten consistently by that Canadian team
on Olympic ice, and we hope that really plays into our hands. I think
the email question, Mac, what's their favorite venue they've ever played in? So, Jocelyn, you first. All right, Jocelyn will answer, and then Monique will talk about looking forward to being on the Olympic size ice. Favorite venue you've ever played in?
Does the Ralph still count?
Yes, of course. Come on.
The Ralph, when we played Canada in December in 2013.
That was a game. The Ralph is a $150 million venue built in Grand Forks by a guy who built the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, and I think he owned, I don't want to say the Tropicana, he was a construction guy, built the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, and owned one of the hotels in Las Vegas, Ralph Engelstad. And he was a backup goaltender at the University of North Dakota, gave the university $150 million, and they built this Taj Mahal that does not belong in a city of 70,000 people. It's absolutely gorgeous. You look, it's marble brass. Looks like you're walking into Nordstrom's or something, for God's sakes. And then there's a hockey, the most opulent hockey arena you've ever seen. And then the locker rooms, the weight rooms are just off the hook. Anyway, they played there against the Canadians. And Monique and Jocelyn's hometown, and a fight started. And they were right in the middle of it. There's some awesome pictures of it, too. All right. Monique?
That was a fun game. I've got the same answer.
Really? That's your favorite venue? Let me dial it back to your victory in the World Cup. That game was almost two different games. the first part of the game, your speed was on display, and the Canadians couldn't keep up with you. It was an incredibly dominating performance and almost through the first two periods. And then they came back and made it exciting, and you guys ultimately prevailed. Talk to us about, has your team changed a lot? Is it still as fast as it was almost a year ago when you guys played in the World Championship?
Yeah, absolutely. I like to think we're faster, and I think when we get to Korea, it's going to be on Olympic ice, and we hope that that really plays into our hands. I think in that specific game, they made adjustments on their forechecks, and so I think what's going to be, you know, important for us is to read their pressure, and you know, if they kind of started trapping, so if they're trapping, you quick transition. If they're coming too hard or they're chasing a little bit, you might have a little bit more time to swing back and make some plays. But I think Olympic ice, we're excited to play on a big ice sheet, that's for sure.
All right. The email question, is it an advantage or disadvantage for you guys to play together? First of all, you want to talk about that, Monique? You're moving up from playing forward right now, and you're on a line with Jocelyn. Is that, do you guys enjoy that, not enjoy it?
Yeah, I mean, it's been an adjustment the last month. I've been playing D the last three and a half years and has had pretty limited time at forward, but, being back on a line with Jocelyn, it's been a lot of fun. It's basically having instant chemistry. I think in the past, I think you could probably say it, I wouldn't say hindered us, but definitely definitely hurt us in certain situations when we try and look for each other, all the time. But I would say with getting older and our game really maturing, I would definitely say it's an advantage, whether we're both playing forward or she's playing forward and I'm on D. When we're on the ice at the same time, but it's been fun playing forward the last couple of weeks.
All right. Jocelyn, your thoughts on that?
I enjoy it. I mean, I think when we get in these, you know, opportunities to play in the Olympics, you're going to do whatever you're expected to do to help the team win. But if we have an opportunity to play together, I think we both relish in that because we haven't always had that opportunity. And it's just really easy to play with each other, and the chemistry is always there, and so we're really looking forward for that opportunity. And I mean, we feel like we bring an element of deceptiveness with the two of us and our line mate that just hasn't been there, I don't think, this year, and so it's going to be fun, I think.
All right, another email question. Hey, Mac, first of all, always great to have the girls on. I'm curious, this is their third time at the Olympics. What do they look forward to the most in terms of the experience? Not necessarily the competition, putting that aside, but there is the opening ceremonies, the closing ceremonies. There's the athletes' village, all the things that we see on TV. What do they enjoy the most? So, Monique, what do you enjoy the most about going to the Olympics?
I think two part is being able to go to opening ceremonies. I'm pretty sure we're going to be going this time around. We weren't able to go in Sochi because we played the following day at noon. And we have the opening ceremonies is 2 days before our first game. So I think that's something we're all extremely excited to go to because for the first time Olympians, it's your first event that you're going to as an Olympian. And so it's such a special moment to hear the United States called and you're going out there and you're representing your country. And it's a feeling that it's really hard to describe if you've never experienced it before. And then being able to share it with our families. Our parents are going to be able to go, and we have an aunt and uncle that are actually going this time around, and Jocelyn's husband's going as well. So to be able to share the moments with your family. They've been a part of the journey just as long as we've been on this team, and many, many years before that. And we wouldn't be where we are today without them. So to be able to have them there makes it, you want those people there. And so it's really special to be able to have those moments with them.
All right. How about you, Jocelyn? Thing you're most looking forward to, other than let me take opening ceremonies off the table. Other than that, yeah,
the cafeteria probably. it's pretty cool to be in the community cafeteria where all the athletes eat, and that's pretty. It's you can just sit there and hang out and just you watch world class athletes preparing. We sat with, I think it was J.R. Selsky for breakfast in 2010, and he was skating for a gold medal that night in short track speed skating. So there's moments like that where it's like you're just sitting with someone that's going to, go compete for a gold medal for the biggest moment in their athletic career. And so I think that's pretty cool to share with other athletes, but then see other athletes from all over the world. That's probably the most interesting thing, I think, throughout the time. And then obviously having our family there is when you said they've been a part of this journey the entire way, and as we've gotten older and we're both married, to have that support in our marriages, it's definitely not easy. We pick up and we leave for 6 months, and I know some people have asked Brent, oh, how do you do that? How do you just let her go do that for 6 months? And I think it's a silly question, but some people really do have that mindset. And so it's never been a question of I'm going to let her go do that. It's always been, I'm going to go do this. And he's always been supportive. And so to have that, and then our parents, and her aunt and uncle there, it's special to share those moments.
Yeah, no, a long ways from skating on the Supras and at around Grand Forks. What talk to me about the two most hated hockey players in North Dakota, by the way, when they were little. Yeah, even though they were girls,
oh, yeah.
Absolutely hated around the state. Talk to me about the food. Is the food good, or do you guys bring your own chefs that prepare food? Someplace for you guys. How does food work?
So it's actually pretty interesting. They have South Korea will have a head. I mean, there's a nutrition committee. So then all of the countries have their head nutritionists, and they agree on menus. For the athletes. And so there's so much planning that goes into that piece of it, because that's such an important part of your day to day and how you're feeling for your competitions. And so there's the cafeteria that has multiple different cuisines. But then I know with the USA delegation, they have a snack room, where all the in the dorms or apartments, there's an extra snack room with extra just food for us to eat that we would be accustomed to. And the USOC does a good job of just being over-prepared in case the food's not quite what it needs to be, or it's just not what some athletes need. And so they do a good job of having a second and third alternative depending on what happens when you actually get on the ground there.
All right. So are you guys relieved that the two Koreans, Korean nations are speaking, and it looks like North Korea's going to participate? So the probability of North Korea bombing the Olympics while their own athletes are there is low. So you guys got to be relieved about that, yes?
I mean, it's actually, compared to Sochi, the amount of media around bad things happening around the Olympics is, I think, it's substantially less going into this Olympics than it was for Rio or for Sochi. So I guess, for me, I think of it as
Pyeongchang's going to be the safest place in the world to be for about 3 weeks.
Well, you know, it's interesting you make that point because, you know, it was a big deal in Sochi with, you know, checking in not that far away and the strife that's gone on in that region for a long, long, long time. It was much more probable that you would see some form of terrorism in Sochi as opposed to some kind of conventional crazy nuclear event on the Korean Peninsula that a lot of people say that is never going to happen. But interesting that it was probably more probable at Sochi than it is in South Korea.
Yeah, and I don't, unless you've been to an Olympics as a spectator, as an athlete, I don't think the average person really understands the amount of security that goes on everywhere and everywhere around the village and the Olympic Park and everything. Like, you can't just go and walk into a venue or even get into the Olympic Park. Like, you have to go through security just to get into the park, and then you have to go through security again just to get into a venue. And in order, like, to get into the, like, us as athletes, if we don't have our name card or our, like, badge or our credential, like, you can't get anywhere as an athlete. So, like, that's, like, the number one thing they teach you before you get your credential is do not lose this, because you will not be able to get anywhere without it. And it's true, like, you can't get into the village, you can't get into the rink. Like, even when you're in the rink, like, we've had times where you're going to warm up. So, like, you're in your warm-up gear to get, like, an off-ice warm-up in, and you don't bring your credentials with you, and you leave it in the locker room because it's a huge, like, task, and you don't have it. And it's like you can't get back in the door without your credentials. So someone has to run back in the locker room to grab your credential. Like, even when you're in the venue, you need it. So it's a lot. And Sochi was... there were people everywhere, so...
Those Russians, they're pretty... were the Russians pretty scary? I mean, you guys aren't going back, so you don't have to worry about what you say, but come on, in the movies, the Russians are always as scary as people around. Were they scary in Sochi?
Well, we were... so, they all volunteer... well, you can't really tell the difference between the volunteers and the security, I guess, but we were told that they were all in, like, these purple, light purple... like jumpsuits, basically. And we were told by, it was one of the FBI agents that were with our team, that it was the guys in the purple suits are armed. So you obviously can't see their guns over their jackets, but that's what we were told. And there are guys with purple suits everywhere. So
the Russians, they don't screw around with that kind of stuff. All right, what's your schedule look like between now and when you leave? What's next?
We're in Florida this next 3 weeks, so we have a game Saturday and Monday, and then Wednesday, and then we have a couple days off, and then another game, two or three days off, and then another game. So we're basically doing like a mock Olympic schedule in the next 2 weeks. But we'll be training through that mock tournament. And then probably in the next week or so, we'll start ramping up, just getting all of our stuff packed up, figuring out what you need to bring and what you need to send home and whatnot. So the next 3 weeks are going to go by pretty quick, but everyone's starting to get pretty excited just because now that the time's winding down to head over there.
All right. Okay, next question. Why are we losing to the Canadians? You know how we all feel about that. Like, what is up?
So serious question.
Okay, why the silence? What the hell's going on? You know we don't like losing to them, okay?
Yeah, I mean, I think I answered it before. We went into Sochi and we won 4 in a row, and then we lost when it mattered. So I guess they're... tune-up games, and there's been changes on both rosters and adjustments I know are probably being made on their side, and we're just focused on what we need to do in the next 3 weeks so that when we get over there, we're putting our best foot forward. So, that's what matters, is who wins in 6-7 weeks. And not to discount, like, Finland's got a really good team, too, and so that's who our first game is against, and can't overlook
their team. They have some really good players, some former UND players, and Carvinen probably is their best forward with Tapani, and who played at UND. And so we're obviously preparing to play Canada. We have to be prepared for Finland, too.
All right, so your next game is when?
We play on Saturday.
Okay. All right, and who do you play on Saturday?
It's the NWHL All-Star team.
Got it. And you do that down in Florida. Do you know if that's on TV?
It might be streamed. It's definitely not on TV, though.
Got it. All right. One more question. Rob Stauber, your coach, yes?
Yep.
Longtime goalie, National Hockey League. What's he like to play for?
Rob's actually been a part of our staff since 2010, I believe. So for us older players, I think a lot of people were surprised when he was named our head coach, but he's been around our program longer than most of the players have, except for us old players, a few of us that are still around. So he definitely, he challenges us and has really challenged us as players on the mental side of our game and to really be prepared mentally for everything. And I think that's something where we've come a really long way as a team and as a group to really apply the mental side. And that's something that any sports psychologist will tell you, any elite, what makes the best players not as good as the great players is they're usually it's the mental side of the game and being mentally prepared for anything and the preparation that goes into these 6 months. So it's been a fun 6 months, and we're really excited to really show the world what we can put together on the ice in February and what our staff has been able to help us to do. And we're just chomping at the bit to really show the world what kind of team we are.
All right. Well, I think you both know, but, you know, how excited the people are in Grand Forks and the region that have grown up watching you play and have watched your success, and not only on the ice, but what you did a year ago relative to gender equity. I think people were just as proud, if not more proud of that than what you've done on the ice. So want to wish you continued much success in representing our country. And we know you guys will do a great job. And then thanks for doing this. All the best of luck to you guys.
Thanks for having us, Mike. Thank you.
All right. Well, one more email. Is there one thing that either one of them doesn't eat during their playing season that they can't wait to eat when they're done? Do you guys do that?
Well, I actually ate vegan all summer.
Whoa.
And I would say because of the traveling that we do, I would say it's more vegetarian. But I haven't had chicken, beef, or pork in like 6 months. I'm not sure. I think after the Olympics, because there's a 24-hour McDonald's in the cafeteria, I might get a cheeseburger. I'm absolutely going to the
Hold on. Vegan? Vegan? That's not like vegetarian. Vegan, for those of you who don't know, that's like maniacal eating. That's crazy eating.
Vegan is way harder than vegetarian.
Right. Yeah, vegetarian's garbage compared to vegan. It's like, you're just a vegetarian. Like, why go a third of the way? Have you both done that?
Yeah, Monique was probably a little bit more strict on the vegan, because I don't have any, like, dietary restrictions.
Right.
As far as, like, upset stomach or food sensitivities. But I guess I'm just like, if I need to eat something, I'm not going to not feed myself just because there's not a vegan option. And so that's pretty much why we've been doing the vegetarian.
Do you feel, okay, so,
this year.
All right, so answer this and I'll let you go. Do you feel better as athletes eating such in such a disciplined way?
Yeah, my knees and my shoulders have felt better, and I've had one shoulder surgery and have a little bit of it might actually be a little bit of arthritis, but it's actually my knees and my shoulders have felt better, and there's a lot of research and stuff that goes into inflammation and what you put in your body and how that causes inflammation. And so I think that's a piece of it, but as far as how good I've been feeling as far as injuries go, and so that's definitely a piece to the puzzle, I think.
Interesting. The Missies, Monique and Jocelyn Lamoureux Davidson. It's Italian. Maduro?
Mirando.
I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Okay, first of all, thanks for doing this. Don't be afraid to tap into the anger of the music, though. I'm just telling you. His music is good. It's good for anger. It's good therapy. But thank you very much for doing this. And again, extremely proud of you guys, especially when you throw on that USA jersey and represent the nation. All the best of luck.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, there you have it. Monique and Jocelyn Lammer, more of a Mac Talk. Coming up next.
Yeah. How crazy is that, that she almost predicts the play that she scores on? Yeah, we're looking forward to that big ice. We think we're even faster, and you can take advantage when somebody overcommits or a bad line change. So pretty interesting that Monique almost, prophetic in terms of that goal. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. Montana Man's going to join us. Gunner's feeling under the weather again. Yeah. Good God, man. Come on, man up, Gunner. What's up? But anyway, Montana Man, it's zero up in Montana. So we'll talk to him. He's been up all night feeding calves and stuff like that. So anyway, more of All Marine Radio coming up next. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for